It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
More Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
It is indeed Inside the Clubhouse. It's Spiegel solo on a Saturday morning. Bruce Levine has the week off and enjoying the conversation with our friend Ryan Dempster, who is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Demp, have you retained your position within the organization, special assistant to the GM, I think it was? Are you still doing that among other roles?
Yeah, I'll still be helping out, wherever I can there, probably on a little less basis. But, always there to help whenever I can, whatever is needed, I'll do. But busy definitely with the off the mound stuff and stuff with Marquee, and hopefully getting back out to MLB Network at some point.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's interesting times for the front office, as you know. Theo Epstein has been very open about potentially transitioning out at the end of this year. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of other people, a lot of players, obviously. And then I just read John Baker's apparently much desired in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. Baker is such a good dude and the mental skills coordinator with the Cubs, but to be a farm director, I didn't know that was anything he aspired to, but those rumors are out there on the internet for all to see. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, John Baker is an incredibly smart dude, a catcher at the big league level. So, I always feel like those guys, they just see the game differently than all the rest of us, because, they literally are seeing it different than everybody else. They're seeing it from behind home plate. And, for him to, be under, the blanket of the mental skills coordinator is probably unfair, because he does so much more than that. He has the ability, sure, to help you on the mental side, but to be able to actually, help a young catcher from the physical side, or a young hitter, or work through those things that he did at the big league level, he's kind of done it all. So I doesn't surprise me or shock me in the least, because his qualifications are for sure there to be able to help run an entire minor league system, no doubt.
He turned me on to my meditation guru these days, Jon Kabat-Zinn, who wrote a lot of different books. But like you know, I told Baker that I was, you know, doing a practice of meditation. He recommended me that guy, and that guy's the goods. So, you know, works for me. What the hell?
Well, could be my farm director. Absolutely, meditation is great, man. And like, you know, just the mental aspect of it all, right? Like, so much of our life, our baseball career is mental. We all got the physical tools. You don't get drafted because you're not physically good enough. You know, there's tons of guys who throw 95 to 100 in the minor leagues, and what separates them is the ability to, you know, to control the mental aspect of the game, to slow things down in those moments. So yeah, through meditation, through thought process, through you know, doing things to reinforce positive thoughts and positive you know, mind waves is always a bonus, and he was really, really good at that. He is really, really good at that, and I hope he stays right where he's at. But I can understand if somebody else would want him, because he's incredible.
Let me ask you about one of those mental aspects. It seems so counterintuitive. I don't know how you figure it out. I was reading some quotes earlier today from a young pitcher who got hurt in the playoffs. How does a young pitcher learn the right mix of doing what you're told, accepting the ball and doing your job, and speaking up when you're not feeling right? Because you won't be at your best if you're not feeling right, and you could hurt yourself, and you might also not be as effective, but you don't want to be the guy who says no when the manager or the pitching coach comes and asks you. That's got to be a difficult balance to learn.
It took me a long time to learn that. You know, I was stubborn. I just felt like no matter what, even if I wasn't 100%, that I could help the team. And then you start to realize, wow, like me out 95% sure, 90%, okay, I can figure this out or whatever it is. But when you're not at your best and you're going to hurt the team, you're actually helping more by standing up and saying, hey, listen, I'm not good to go right now. And I wish I was, but I can't help us like I normally could help us. And I think managers really, really appreciate that. You know, Greg Maddux once said to, you know, when you used to talk to a manager, you never lie. You lie for a manager, never to him. Hmm. You know, like if you need to protect him in the media, or you need to say something that is between you two and keep it that way, but never lie to your manager. Tell him the honest truth. If you're done, you're done. If you're good, you're good. And then what happens is that's how you build a lot of trust, because when they see that you're being honest, and I took that to heart. I remember going, getting traded down to Texas, and Ron Washington wanted to pull me out of the game. And it was after a good inning. I was throwing the ball well, and I said, I'm good. And he's like, and he looked at Mike Maddux, who's our pitching coach, and Mike said, he ain't lied to us yet. And so he let me go back out there. And, you know, and there's been times where I've had to go to a manager and say, hey, like, I just don't feel good. You got to get somebody up in the bullpen. So, you got to learn to manage that. And it is a tough balance, especially for a young guy, because you're trying to make your way in the game. You don't want to look, you know, quote unquote weak, but if you're not able to help the team like you're supposed to be helping the team, then you're putting them at a disadvantage. So, and I think we've seen that change a lot over the years, where guys are a little bit more transparent and with their coaches and with their managers and the training staff.
How did it manifest for you when you were either off physically or tired? Did you lose control? Did you lose ride on fastball? Did you lose break? What changed for you?
Yeah, you know, sharpness on breaking balls, command was a big one. So, like, you know, I remember when I hurt my elbow in Cincinnati and not saying anything about it and going out there and pitching and trying to pitch through a torn ligament in my elbow. And I'd throw two pitches, you know, on the corner, get 0-2, and, you know, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's throw another one down there, and I'm throwing it like up and in. I just all of a sudden completely lose it, and it's like I'm not supposed to be out here right now. And I finally just had to go in, but I was stubborn, and I made that mistake, and then, you know, it cost me a Tommy John surgery, maybe, possibly, I don't know, but it also cost me, you know, trust of the manager and you know, even just my own self doubt. And so I learned a lot from that year, and promised myself that you know, as long as I could be physically okay to go and help the team, I was going to do that. But if I was not going to be in the best shape to give us the best chance to win, then I was going to say something.
Demp, you did so many different roles, you know, in your career. I mean, frankly, when I think of guys who've been both starters and closers at a high level, I think of Smoltz. I think of Eckersley, who won 20 games in 78 and then obviously was a Hall of Famer as a closer. And I think of you. You're right there. And, you know, and obviously Kerry Wood in the same organization. But could you have done all those different kind of roles, like, during the course of the same year, like those guys in Tampa Bay were asked to do? Like, could you have approached your baseball life every day not knowing if you were a fifth-inning guy, an eighth- or ninth-inning guy, or an opener? Like, I mean, maybe all three of those things you would do during the course of a week. Would that work for you?
You know what? My young me, probably not. But an older me, yeah. I think what's changed, Maddie, is the communication factor. You know, like where they talk about, we don't have closers, we got outgetters. Those, that kind of mentality, when you have those conversations and with the player and the player knows what to expect, I think the unexpected stuff is what's tough. You know, when all of a sudden you're like, hey, I pitched in the eighth inning for the last 2 months and all of a sudden I'm up in the fifth. That for a pitcher or a player, that's hard because we're preparing ourselves mentally to go through that. But if you have the conversations before and you're prepared for any scenario, sure, why not? Let's go. Just put me in there whenever you need me to get outs. And taking that mentality and buying into that mentality and is really, really important. And, you know, you want to be there to help the team. And, I kind of did that anyways. I was pitching well in 2005 out of the rotation, made 6 starts, I think 4 good ones, 2 not so good. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, can you close? That's what we needed in order for us to try and win some ball games. And I said, sure, let's go. And then it's like, hey, do you want to go back to starting rotation? Absolutely. I remember Lou calling me up in the office, told me on the plane ride from New York to Chicago that I was going to go into the rotation after the weekend. And then after the weekend, realized he didn't have anybody else to close. So then he said, hey, you're going to go back to the bullpen, but we'll give you a chance next year. And so, you know, going back and forth, but that just came with the conversation. Once you have that and you understand it, you can move forward.
The way that World Series ended, that last decision with Blake Snell, I was trying to figure out why it bummed me out as much as it did. Just because, like, I love what Tampa Bay does. I have so much respect for what they do and how committed they are and getting it done. But then here in that moment, he went with what they've done. But I think what ended up bumming me out is, like, all my life, just from watching, you know, I feel like I've learned to try and, all right, let's watch the game. Let's see how the hitters are reacting. Let's see how the pitcher looks. Let's see how confident he looks. Let's see, you know, if the guys would be excited, the other hitters, if he were to leave the game, if they would not be excited. Like, to actually try and pay attention to that stuff and listen to that more than anything else. You know what I mean? And I just felt like he didn't listen to that. Were you watching the game? Like, did it feel like, I can't imagine watching that game and thinking, yep, this is time to do that. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, I'm right with you, because when we turn on a game, no matter what sport it is, we're always hoping that we catch that magical moment, right? Like, we want to turn on a game, an NBA game, and watch somebody drop 50, or we want to watch a hockey game and see somebody score a hat trick. We want to see a starting pitcher have this, you know, sometimes career-defining moment. And you're right. It's what we watch, what we see with our eyes. And I understand the analytics, like, you know, but at the end of the day, like, you know, Alec Mills threw a no-hitter. Was that in the, you know, the cards? We didn't know because we could a lot of times kind of just premeditatedly stop that. Well, it's third time through the lineup. Cool. Today I might be able to get through the lineup 6 times. That's just how I'm going today. And it changes from day to day. And I thought more about it. And the more it's gone on and the more I've talked about it and thought about it, it actually excites me that he took him out. And the reason I say that is I just felt like baseball was going in this unfortunate direction, you know, with the pace of play and how things slow down and this whole third time through the lineup and the numbers and the bullpen and all this stuff going back and forth. That it actually just kind of said in my head, like, maybe this is a defining moment where we actually start to go back the other way a little bit, where we actually just, sure, take all the data in we can, but understand that those are human beings playing the game. They're not Strat-O-Matic cards. They're not computer games. They're living, breathing humans that have different emotions on every different day. And all of the information we can get is great, but our eyes ultimately can tell us more than those, you know, those pieces of paper we get or those computers that we look at. And hopefully that's a moment where it just changes a little bit back in the other way. And we see some starting pitchers going 7-8 innings because they can, because physically they can. If we teach them to do that, they can do it.
Boy, I hope so. That'd be really nice. It is. It feels like the age old question of the game, like trust your gut and your eyes or trust the book. And the book has changed. The book keeps changing. The book keeps getting better and better. The book is a computer. It's a really good computer now, and it's a great, great book. But it's the same thing. You know, somebody brought up Grady Little to me in the wake of that, and I realized that was the same kind of moment, but he made the different decision, but it was the same mistake. Because if you were watching Pedro in that World Series game, or in that ALCS game, he was getting ripped. Like, three guys in a row had hit these, like, serious line drives, and the Yankees had a lather going, and Grady didn't watch the game. And base it on that, he, you know, so it's the same kind of thing. It's maybe it will be a lesson to be learned, because Blake Snell was pitching the game of his life, wasn't he? And he knew
he was, and it was going to be his moment. And he knew it, and he was dominating those guys. And you know, it's unfortunate, and you know, like Kevin Cash said, I'm just a, you know, I regret it because the result turned out to be what it was, obviously. But yeah, there's something about looking up the paper, you know, or whatever, your app on your phone and saying, oh, man, look at ace versus ace. I'm going to go pony up with a buddy at a bar and watch this. So we're going to sit down with my son and watch this pitching matchup. But now a lot of times it doesn't matter. And we're creating that own data, right? Like, oh, third time through the lineup, he can't get anybody else, so we're not going to let him face anybody. But then this random Tuesday, we're going to let him face somebody, and then he doesn't get anybody out the third time through the lineup. And we go, see? Couldn't get anybody out third time through the lineup. I know you haven't let me do it in 2 months. You know? How about teach me how to get through the lineup 4 times? How about instead of finding the swing path, right, and we go to the data right away in the first at-bat on the leadoff hitter and I throw him 3 breaking balls, instead I just throw him fastballs down the middle and he grounds out to short and I still have the breaking ball in the back pocket for maybe not even the second time, maybe the third time through the lineup. That's what I'm talking about. We have all this data that we jump to right away instead of letting it play out to find out when we need to use the data. When do I go to that weakness in the hitter? When do I find that hole in the swing path that I go to? Instead of just doing it every time. Now when that hitter comes up third time through the lineup, he's like, I've seen 8 breaking balls. Cool. Throw me another one. It better be perfect because I've seen all of your breaking balls. So that's what I'm talking about, teaching these guys how to navigate through a lineup and how to, you know, do those kind of things. We saw it out of Kyle Hendricks against the Cardinals last year. They were tired coming from Washington. They had a rain delay. They got in at 3 o'clock in the morning. What do? He threw 85 right down the middle and they popped it up and grounded it out because he knew that. He took that into effect. He didn't overthink it. And I, like I said, I felt for Blake Snell. I felt for Tampa Bay. Kevin Cash is a great manager. He wasn't trying to lose that game. It was just one of those moments that he's going to have to live with. But like I said, hopefully it's a turning point back in the right direction.
Catch off the mound with Ryan Dempster on Marquee. I'm sure the one with you and Ross will play another time or two this week. I know it debuted last night. I caught it this morning. You asked him about singing, and you said he's a good singer, and he said, oh, I can't hang with you, Demp. So now I need to know what you guys have sung together, like at Lester's house, some late night after a game or some Sunday morning. What have you and Ross sung together? Anything?
Oh, man, anything, man, from Poison to, you know, Dierks Bentley to you name it. I mean, he absolutely can slay hip-hop, old-school hip-hop. It's next level. So I've been practicing so that when he comes over next time when we can do that, I'm gonna try and keep up with him. But we have a ton of fun. We enjoy music, so I appreciate the plug for our love of karaoke.
Yeah, man. Well, if you need somebody to come over and do the human beatbox while you guys are getting down to some of the old school hip hop, you know, ask a Jersey boy to accompany the Tallahassee Kid and Canada's finest, Ryan Demp.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks, Demp. Thanks for waking up. Appreciate you.
You got it, Matty. All right, man.
Okay. All right. It's Ryan Dempster right there on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Tom Hamilton, the Indians play-by-play man, will join us in a little bit to talk about Francisco Lindor and some other stuff. But I've been threatening it and teasing it. We'll talk some hot stove and why it's so frozen next on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Oh, Little Prince does me just fine. It's interesting. So Minnesota is one of the teams that might be ready to spend in this offseason. We all know there's a ton of reasons why the hot stove is really frozen. One of them is just how weird the finances are. Obviously, a lot of owners crying poor, and understandably so in terms of the specifics of what they can pay somebody in terms of, like, you have not been in a situation like this as an owner where you can't count at all on game day revenue. You have no idea if you're going to be able to have players, people in the stands next year. And if you are going to have people in the stands next year, it might just be your season ticket, you know, your base of season tickets. It's not going to be any, like, single game buyers and, you know, your pleasure seekers on a day. Like, your whole finances are screwy, especially if you're a team like the Cubs that depends on day of game revenue. There's a lot of legitimacy to that as you're dealing with an unspoken, you know, awkwardness to the market, which we're trying to speak on here and Inside the Clubhouse. But anyway, here's a big indicator of the frost that does exist, is when these guys' options are declined, and some make sense, like John Lester at 25 mil or Corey Kluber's with his health issues, but some were insane. Nobody wanting Brad Hand at $10 million is nuts. Just, it's a real indicator of what we're going to be looking at here for a while. And a lot of teams are not going to spend, and we know that, but who might spend? Here are some of the teams that I've seen listed as potentially spending in this particular offseason. Two of them are in the White Sox division. The Tigers, now with A.J. Hinch, with a really potentially impressive young core of pitchers and a pitching coach they're really happy about. This guy Chris Fetter, who I mentioned to you from Michigan, and they might be spending some money. And then Minnesota, as they chase the final pieces to try and get over the hump and, I don't know, win a single playoff game. Can you win one playoff game if you're the Twins? They want to, that's for sure. So the Tigers and the Twins might be spending, and then three in the American League East, the Blue Jays, feeling like they're close after having gotten where they got and with an interesting young core. The Yankees, always the Yankees. And you know why the Yankees are going to be able to spend? Because they've still got some studs on some really low money contracts. Aaron Judge contracts. I think Aaron Judge is making less than $5 million. He was last year anyway. So he's still there. And that number is going to jump like crazy. But the Yankees and the Rays, maybe the Rays will spend a little bit because that payroll is so crazy low. None of those guys in the bullpen make any money for the Rays. They're just all their own bullpen creations. One more that I've seen as a potential spender is the Giants, who might be ready to dive in terms of where they are in their kind of rebuild, retool arc. There's another big question that looms over this offseason, and that's, is there a DH in the National League or not? It's a big deal for roster construction. It's a big deal for the value of these hitters as they approach the market. And owners will use that in negotiations, obviously, when the CBA is negotiated after the next season. It's going to be a big deal. We know that's going to be probably very ugly between the players and the owners as they talk about these different things to try and get into the CBA. But that looming give and take between the union and the owners, we're going to get a preview of that before this particular offseason. And isn't that a fun idea to think about? But is there a DH? Nobody knows if there's going to be a DH in the National League, if there's a universal DH or not this next season. The players want it. Most front offices want it. Most front offices and most high-ranking executives do not feel like they want to see their pitchers hit. They don't want to see it. So they've got vested interest in having the DH be there. And owners, though, they want to get something for it. They're going to try to squeeze their expanded playoffs in for another year along with the designated hitter. So if you're going to do one, you're going to do the other. Before we bring in our next guest, I will share with you the breaking news that AP, the Associated Press, and CNN have called the election for Joe Biden. So that official news, which a lot of people have been waiting for, has now just crossed mere moments ago. But that will not derail our baseball conversation, damn it. And even though I don't have a magic wall to go up to like John King or Steve Konracki, I do have a phone line to bring in Tom Hamilton, the longtime voice of the Cleveland Indians, who joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Tom Hamilton, thanks so much for the time on a Saturday morning. How's your offseason going so far?
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me. And enjoying kind of Indian summer here. I think we have 70 degree weather, so we'll take it as long as we can and hope the same in Chicago.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful here. I've got a big session of bags or cornholes set for this afternoon. I just can't wait, baby. Get one more in before they go away for the year. Tom, what does Francisco Lindor mean to the culture and personality of that team, that organization, and how big of a blow would it be to lose him at this point?
Well, I think first off, Max, he's the face of the franchise, really. And he's one of those unique players that, you know, and we've seen it in our sport and in other sports, but he truly is one of the elite players in the game, but he has the whole package. He has the personality. He's a good-looking kid with a million-dollar smile that kind of lights up a room. He's very well-spoken. He's very intelligent. He knows how to deal with the media. He interacts with the fans and obviously plays the game with a great deal of enthusiasm. And I think it's one of those old adages we've talked about. My gosh, if I had his talent and his looks, well, I'd be smiling all the time, too. I mean, you don't see many of those in the game, and I think he is certainly among the top five players in all of Major League Baseball, whether it's position players or pitchers. Plus, he plays a premium position that impacts the game, you know, in so many different ways. And he's a guy on top of that that usually hits for average, hits for power, and can hit anywhere in the lineup. So, you know, he's the kind of guy that you build a club around, but it's a foregone conclusion that his time is up here in Cleveland. And, you know, come opening day, if opening day takes place like we hope next April 1st, there's no way he'll be at shortstop for the Indians.
What is the if? What is the if for you? Is it just the uncertainty of the pandemic? Is that because there's also some things they have to agree on. And I was just talking about in terms of possible expanded playoffs and DH and stuff like that. But the pandemic is what you're referring to.
That's it. And Max, I think just the byproduct of the pandemic is, quite honestly, nobody knows what next year's going to bring from the standpoint of fans in the stands. Are you going to be able to have fans in the stands, or are you going to be limited? Is it 20% of your park, 25% of your park? And let's face it, that is going to have a huge impact on a ball club's revenue, because, you know, you can break down the numbers any way you want, but I think it's pretty much assumed that anywhere from 40 to 50% of a ball club's revenue comes from people in the stands, whether it's parking, tickets, concessions, on and on and on. The other thing, too, that kind of gets lost in that equation sometimes is, think of all of the advertisements you have on your Jumbotron between innings. The signage you have, ballpark, all of that is based and sold with the idea the fans are going to be in that ballpark and see it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are so many layers to this that, you know, you're already hearing the talk about, hey, look, the players are saying we're playing 162 next year and we're going to be fully compensated. And yet, you know, you're already starting to hear some rumblings. Well, will ownership want a shorter season if you're going to be impacted again by not being able to have people in the seats or have a limited number of people in the seats? So it's just like, oh, my gosh, here we go again.
Tom Hamilton with us here on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine has the week off. I am here with you solo. Tom, when I see Brad Hand have his option declined, I know that's telling in terms of the finances of the Indians, but maybe it's telling in terms of the finances of the entire industry here as we approach the hot stove season. I would assume that they bandied him about in trade conversations. Yes. And nobody went for $10 million for Brad Hand. That seems implausible to me. Seems crazy.
That one surprised me, Max. Not that the Indians were going to turn down the option, but when they put him out there on waivers, that gave any team a chance to pick up that contract, you know, and not have to compete for him on the free agent market with other ball clubs, which is now the case. He's a free agent. So I'm with you. I was surprised, again, with as well as he pitched last year, he didn't have a blown save until the final game of the year in the playoffs with the New York Yankees. And so for $10 million, I was surprised somebody wasn't going to pick that up and put that guy in the back end of their bullpen, knowing they weren't have to spend any additional revenue, nor were they going to have to give up players to get him. So I think, to your point, and I think you touched upon it, Max, it's one thing that a franchise like the Indians that is definitely going to have to cut payroll, the fact that they didn't pick it up was one thing, but the fact that nobody else did, that one shocked me.
So how do they keep doing it, Tom? How do they keep regenerating incredible young cheap pitchers just over and over and over again? I know there's some very smart trades, and in dealing Mike Clevinger, they picked up another one in Cal Quantrill and another prospect in that deal as well. But I love is it Dr. Sticks? Is that what they call the kid Tristan McKenzie? I love that kid. Just seems to be this never-ending trove of really young dudes with huge arms that come out of that system. How do they do it?
Well, one thing, they have proven, Max, that, and you mentioned the fact, the trades. I mean, they traded for Mike Clevinger. They traded for Corey Kluber. They traded for Carlos Carrasco. And remember, when they were trading for these guys, they were either in A-ball or double-A. And so it wasn't like they were knocking on the door to get to the big leagues. While they may not have been drafted, they were developed by the Indians because they got into the Indians system, and the Indians people were able to make mechanical adjustments, and, you know, the rest is history. I mean, everybody knew Trevor Bauer was going to be really good coming out of UCLA. He was the third pick in the draft, but it didn't work in Arizona, but it sure as heck worked in Cleveland. So I don't think there's any question that the Indians' ability to scout and see a certain guy that they feel that they can make better. You know, the one thing you don't see the Indians do, Max, they're not like some of these college programs that simply go to a showcase event and whatever kid lights up the radar gun, that's the kid that they recruit. Mm-hmm. The Indians very seldom have those guys that light up the radar gun. Now, they throw hard. Let's not make any mistakes about that. All of the guys we're talking about, you know, with the exception of Corey Kluber. Corey was mostly, you know, 93, 94, even in his younger days. But Clevinger and even Bieber now and Carrasco and Bauer have all been able to throw mid-90s, but they have the ability to pitch. And that's what the Indians have been so good at in the organization, and they've had people on the minor league level. And obviously they're into analytics and all of that too. But analytics is one thing. You still have to be able to teach those mechanics and get these people turned around. And I think I'm not really out on a limb at all when I say they're the best organization in Major League Baseball in developing pitching. And it's the only way you survive in a market like this. Now, they haven't been able to do the same with position players, you know, and I'm sure that that's something they're looking at closely is, you know, how do we develop more hitters so that we're not always having to trade four hitters with that surplus of pitching. But, you know, Tito Francona is a part of this too. And Terry has always said from the day he got here as manager beginning in 2013, whenever you think you have enough pitching, go get more. And that's what keeps you competitive year in and year out. How they do it, it's beyond me. And, you know, it's kind of like some restaurant secret sauce. No one's going to really give you the recipe for it.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Them and Tampa Bay, you know, and when you've got a reason and a need to be like forever cheap and efficient, if you can figure out how to do that, that's how you stay competitive. It really is remarkable. All right, last thing for you. Here is Max Spiegel in solo on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine has the week off. Surprised that Sandy Alomar Jr. did not get interviewed for the White Sox position? I was hoping for that, actually.
You know, I didn't know who might interview him, Max, but I sure thought somebody would. I mean, what he did with this ball club in the absence of Terry Francona and not knowing when Tito was coming back. You know, that's the other thing. You know how that is if you're in school and you know you've got the substitute teacher for an indefinite period of time, good luck to the substitute teacher keeping that class in line. And Sandy did it. And I, again, speaks volumes to who Sandy Alomar is and the amount of respect that he commands from the ball club. But I thought he did an incredible job. And I thought what he did, Max, would put him back on the radar for other teams looking for managers. Now, I'm not certain. I haven't talked to Sandy this off season, but I don't know if anybody requested to interview Sandy and he did it quietly or said no thanks. I'm not real certain on that, Max. I probably shouldn't speak on on behalf of, you know, 29 other organizations. But I think somebody's really missing the boat by not having Sandy Alomar as their manager, because under those circumstances, and also remember a couple of things, Sandy didn't have Brad Mills, who I think is the best bench coach in all of baseball and has been tied at the hip with Terry Francona everywhere they've gone. Now, Brad has since announced his retirement, but now you've lost not only your manager, but the second most important person in that dugout, the bench coach, and then the hitting coach. Ty Van Berkelio opted out due to COVID reasons and health reasons. So you now had two kids that were minor league coaches coaching first and third. And you know, you're putting this all together on top of everything else that you dealt with during the summer with COVID. I'm stunned. Whether it was the White Sox, I think the White Sox obviously had a game plan where they were going. I mean, that seems pretty evident now. And look, if you can get Tony La Russa, then, you know, Sandy would be the first guy to say, I get it. I mean, when Sandy was the interim manager for Manny Acta, we would do the manager's show every day, and it was the last week of the season. And Sandy told me then, he goes, I'm not getting this job. They're going to bring in Terry Francona. And Sandy said then, if they can get Terry Francona to manage this team, he goes, they'd be crazy not to. That tells you again, it speaks of the character of Sandy Alomar. But gosh, I hope somebody gives him a chance, because he certainly deserves to be a major league manager, and I think he'd be tremendous.
Outstanding. Well, one of my absolute joys on a night when the Cubs and Sox are not interfering is to hang out on the balcony and enjoy a beverage on a beautiful summer evening and listen to Tom Hamilton do the Indians game. So,
thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Tom. Thanks so much, and have a great fall. Okay.
Thanks so much for asking, and give my best to Bruce the next time, you know, Bruce decides to work. You know, I mean, it's nice that, you know, he can take all these vacation days, but. I know he'll be back soon, Max, so thanks.
All right, you got it. Thank you. That's Tom Hamilton, the Indians play-by-play man. And I know, I heard it right away, and that man is a freaking giant in the industry. Giant! And one of my favorite voices to hear, and a guy I love to talk baseball with. And if he decides that my name is Max, well, then maybe it should be. Okay? Max Peagle. Why not? You know what I'm saying, studs? It's like, you know, who am I to go with the name that I've had for, you know, five decades? No. I think Tom says it and it feels right. Max Peagle.
I think
we'll wrap it up.
I think Max Peagle is a good name for you.
Yeah, I am happy with it. I accept it. I embrace it. I will wrap it up on Inside the Clubhouse in a matter of moments. Rosenblum and Grody coming up at the top of the hour on 670 The Score. It's a momentous, momentous day. Big, big morning in America. I have now been called Max somewhere between 8 and 12 times. I've been going with the over. If I set the over-under, Adam Studzinski, on 8 times I was referred to as Max, you go over or go under? On 8.
Oh, we're going to have to go back and check it, but I want to say I would take the over.
Yeah, just barely. I think I set a good number there. I'm a good odds maker in that way. Always have been since the days of doing overs and unders sideways and down for Bears games on a Bears Friday, which I will be on this coming week. I'm in with Danny Parkins on Thursday, and then Friday is me and a special guest host that I'm hoping for. I don't know if it's locked and loaded yet, so I can't say it, but I'm excited. I would be excited to do it, that's for sure. Fun talking with Tom Hamilton, fun talking with Ryan Dempster. You know, we'll see if Javier Baez gets dealt this offseason. I don't know. I think Chris Bryant is most likely of the Cubs' core five position players to get traded. I'd probably put Kyle Schwarber second after that, and then Wilson Contreras third. This is just if I were the odds maker on this, and then Javier Baez, and then Anthony Rizzo. But are you guys aware of who joins Javier Baez in the free agent shortstop class of 2021? We know that it's Francisco Lindor, the aforementioned, and Javier Baez. So the two of them together, both free agents at the end of next season. Other shortstops, Carlos Correa of the Astros, Corey Seager of the Dodgers, coming off an MVP of the NLCS and World Series postseason run. And Trevor Story, one of the more underrated players in baseball, a guy who does not get enough love in terms of grouping him with the upper echelon, has proved it for lots of years in a row. So Lindor, Baez, Correa, Corey Seager, and Trevor Story, all shortstops, all free agents after 2021. Man, that is something. So, you know, whoever moves fastest on that stuff, because there's not going to be a lot of teams that are willing to take on the money and willing to part with the prospects if both Lindor and Baez are on the block. And then when it comes time to pay those guys, you know, are the Astros going to lock up Correa, lock up their guy? The Dodgers going to lock up Seager? They'll certainly have the money to do it. It would be wise to do that. You've got a core of Seager, Bellinger, and Mookie in terms of position players moving forward, but those decisions will get tougher for Andrew Friedman as the years go on. We know that is for sure. We'll be following along with all the baseball news throughout the week. You can find me on Twitter at MattSpiegel670. As I mentioned, I'll be here Thursday with Danny Parkins in the afternoon and Friday with a special guest host to be announced. And Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum are up next. There's a new president that has been named. It has been called, if you've missed it. Take it from me, Max Pegel, that Joe Biden has been officially elected president, according to the AP and CNN and Fox News as well. So, quite a day. Been fun to do Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine will be back with me next weekend. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy the sun. Get out there and enjoy the day.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with a Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.